next Sunday, like, man, I don't know, God, can you really give me a word that spans like a year? Like, you want to do something in me? You want to do something in our church for a year at a time? And I've been tensioned by that over a number of years until this last year I heard a word that just really unlocked something for me. And it was the question, a year from now, what do you want your life to be more filled with? And in all of the many, many decisions that you're going to make during this year, if those all had like exponential results, if they had like a compounding factor, like when you put money in the bank and over time it will, well, in good economic seasons, it actually grows, it develops into something larger. Out of all the decisions that we make, if those had compounding interest, right? So that we get to next year, we get to 2018, and we say, God, look what you've done in our lives. God, what is it that we would actually want to be more filled with? And so I began praying that, and I began seeking the Lord. And really, through much of 2016, God began to affirm different things in my own heart about 2017. And I wasn't sure how that was all coming together until I found a couple of scriptures that I'm going to be sharing with you in the moments to come. But they have to do with being rooted. Being rooted in Christ. And I wanted to show you this first verse. It's Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It's prepare your hearts to hear something from the Lord for this. Because I believe that this theme of being rooted, deeply rooted, is a theme that is God breathed, that there's something that is like spirit formed in this concept for us, his people, during this year. And this is what it says. And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. So he's like hearkening back. He's like saying, hey, remember that time that like you put your trust in God? I mean, I don't know, man. Some of you in the room, you may have done that for the very first time, like right when we were receiving communion moments ago. You may have said, God, I do put my trust in you. God, I belong to myself, but now I belong to you. You may have done that just moments ago. But he's saying, hey, would you remember back? Remember just as you accepted Christ Jesus, Lord? And I want to tell you something new. You must continue. Everybody say continue. To follow him. This is so important. What he's saying is that salvation, right, is not the end of the journey. It's the beginning. Now, I don't know your life. You may have had a lot of life before you put your trust in Jesus. You may have been all beat up. You may have been crazy, right? Living la vida loco. I don't know. You may have really been living a crazy life. And so to you, salvation was everything because I was dead. I was messed up. And now Jesus has come in and I am free. I am clean. He has forgiven me, right? And so we rejoice over that. We rejoice in that. But guess what? Party ain't over. It may feel like that was the climax. That was it. My salvation is secure. God wants you to know this. There's more. There is more for you than just being adopted into the family. Now you grow as a son. Now you grow as a daughter. You must continue, it says, to follow him. How do we do that? Here's the next thought here. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. And this is the whole concept of being rooted, being established, not being that little seed that's blown through the wind, but is actually being someone who that seed gets into good soil, the soil of his word, the soil of relationships in a church family, and saying, God, I'm gonna put my roots down. I need the nourishment from your word. I need the nourishment from brothers and sisters of the Lord who will encourage me, who will challenge me, who will spur me on to good works. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. And here's the goal. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. Strong, strong faith. People who become fruitful. Listen, have you ever met people who seem to be unrooted? Unrooted? Put that picture up, Bree. There's a picture here that I think describes that pretty well. All of us have done this. You know, you pick the little dandelion when it's like all in its little seed state, and we blow those seeds all over, right? Check it out. That is what many people's lives are like. We're just like floating on the breeze. There's life in those seeds, but they're not rooted. People can be like that. You might look at your own life and go, I wonder if I've been like that in seasons of my own life. Kind of like floating free on the breeze, right? I go from place to place. I go from experience to experience. I go from relationship to relationship. Maybe I'm someone who needs to be rooted. See, people like that, not bad people. Some of the sweetest people. But listen, when we're not established, when we're not grounded in him, we float. And ultimately, guess what? We don't get to be fruitful people until we're grounded, established, and deeply rooted is when we get to bear fruit. Let me show you one other passage that speaks about that. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. When God says you're cursed, it's not meaning that like he's putting some like damning thing over you. It's saying, oh man, you're living cursed, aren't you? He's like merely reflecting on the reality that when we're blowing around place to place, person to person, experience to experience, there's no blessing there, is there? There's no blessing, there's no fruitfulness in our lives. So he says, hey, people that live this way are cursed. Those who put their trust in mere humans, maybe they put their trust in themselves. Maybe a man, maybe a woman, maybe even a church. Man, I put my trust there. Well, maybe that's misplaced. It is misplaced. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Listen, I want you to just think about that for a moment. They're like these little stunted shrubs. You know, there's the hot winds blowing. And when he says they're in a barren land, it's that there is no fruitfulness there. There is no fruitfulness. It's almost like if you've been driving through the high desert or whatever and see tumbleweeds blowing across. That's kind of what it's like. Those unrooted, stunted plants that never like really became fruitful. But, verse 7. But blessed. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. You go from cursed to blessed. You go from living a life like putting your trust in people, on things, away from God, cursed. And he says, but man, if you want to live blessed, here's how to do it. Trust in the Lord. Make your confidence and hope in him. And now listen to what he says instead of being like these stunted shrubs, these little tumbleweeds through the desert. Listen to what he says. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots. They say roots. With roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Whew. I want you to notice something. Even when you're blessed, right, you can hit challenging times. It says, notice that, it says, they're not bothered by the heat. Listen, when the heat of the desert, bam, starts coming on, that high wind starts battering or whatever, those things are still realities. Those are still things that we deal with because we're human and we live on this planet. But it says, yeah, when you're deeply rooted, those things don't bother you. Those challenges that used to topple you over and make you just blow across the desert. No, now you're rooted, soaking up the nourishment that he has intended for us, his grace. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. See, the goal of being rooted, I know this is a little cheesy, but listen, bear with me. The goal of being rooted is being fruited. Fruited. You know what? There is nobody in this room who says, man, I want a barren, fruitless life. Sign me up. How do I get there? There's nobody in this room that if we sat down and talked, you said, yeah, I want a fruitless life. At the end of my days, yeah, I want people to look back and say, yeah, that was barren, barren soil. No good, dried up, crusty. Nobody wants that for themselves. Listen, all of us desire to have this life that is rich with fruit, right? That is able to be a blessing both for ourselves and for our family and for our friends and for people around us. We want to be people who are able to resource others, not to try to be someone who just always is looking for more resources from others, but that we can be givers, right? You must be rooted in order to be fruited. If you want to bear good fruit in your life, you must be established, grounded, and rooted in Christ. Then we will, when the heat comes, we're going to survive. When the storms come, we'll survive. And we'll never stop producing fruit. The Bible is so good because it's filled with characters we can look at who faced real challenges, but because they were rooted in Christ and in relationship with other Christ followers, guess what? They were able to stand strong even in the midst of great adversity. We see that from the beginning of the Bible all the way through the end. We look at the Old Testament and we see characters like Esther, who was under amazing pressure, but she cried out to God and was saved. We see people like Daniel, who were persecuted because of favor that God had given him and persecuted because he was a man of faith, literally thrown into the lion's den. But you know what? He never backed down. And God saved him and helped to turn the heart of a king. We read in the New Testament about amazing men and women. We see some, like Stephen, who were martyred. People who never gave up their faith even to the last moment. We see people like Peter, who grew up a really good Jewish boy. And it was very challenging for him to recognize that the good news of Jesus was more than just for the Jews. It was also for those who were Gentiles, who were not Jewish. But guess what? He was so rooted in Christ that when God showed up and spoke to him and gave him a vision, he was obedient to go not only to the Jews but to the Gentiles. And guess what? You and I, those maybe of us that are in the room that are not Jewish, we owe such a debt of gratitude to a man named Peter who was willing to be so rooted in Christ that he allowed God to dictate his future and his mission rather than his tradition. And he is credited with leading the first non-Jews into relationship with Jesus. We even read of whole communities of faith that were deeply rooted. When you read books like Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, those were written to a real group of people like us who are learning to be rooted in their faith. Galatians was written to the church in Galatia. Ephesians written to the church in Ephesus. Colossians written to the church in Colossae. I love when you read in Colossians chapter 1, when it describes people who are being rooted, becoming rooted. Because, man, when Paul writes to them this letter, he says, man, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so encouraged by you because you are people of faith and you're people of love. And it says that they were growing in their understanding of the gospel. They were growing in their faith. Guess what? The only way you grow is if you're rooted. The stories that we read through Scripture are stories of people that are either on their way towards becoming more deeply rooted, or sometimes, especially in the Old Testament, people who decided, I'm going to suck up my roots, reel them back in. I'm going to go do my own thing right now. Thank you, God. I think I'm going to put my trust in myself right now, right? Rather than in you. We want to be people who are more and more deeply rooted. Listen, this idea of being deeply rooted has two very distinct realities, I believe, for our church family that we're going to be exploring during this year. The first is this, and it's probably the one that's most evident. Okay, listen. The one that is most evident about being rooted is that we're going to grow in our discipleship. People who are established in the Lord are people who are growing as disciples. Disciples who say, God, I want to grow more and more like you. I want to grow more and more like your son every day. In every area of my life, Jesus, I want to look like you. Okay? That's discipleship. We're going to be talking quite a bit about that this year and in the seasons to come, I promise. We're going to be talking about that type of being rooted. But there's also a second meaning for our church about being rooted that's especially important to us, I believe, right now in January of 2017. It's the idea of being called to a particular place and putting our roots down even deeper to this place where God has called us. For those who are maybe newer to our church family, and I met some people brand new today. So let me tell you just in a moment a little bit of our story for the past years of Santa Maria Foursquare. We own another property. We're in northwest Santa Maria right now, but we own another property that's in southeast, okay, opposite part of the city. We own a parcel of land that's really close to where like Elks Rodeo is, if you know where that is, that's just to the east of the freeway. And so for several years, there's been the anticipation that maybe what was going to happen in the story of our church is that we were going to sell everything that we own, including this campus, cash in all of our pennies, all of our dollars, and build a new church campus and develop that property on that part of the city. And so that's something that I've been here for almost 2 years now, prior to that, I mean, this has been a story of that the church has been wrestling through and wondering and anticipating and praying about for a long time. And so for the last 2 years, though, since I came and we received some really good wisdom and some instruction that take the first 2 years, right, that you're here, Tim, and get with the leaders, get with the congregation and pray and ask the Lord to either confirm that that indeed is the direction that we're to go or that you're to stay right where God already had placed you a long time ago. And so I'm going to tell you something that I believe is worthy of rejoicing in, that we believe that God has given us great clarity about our future. We believe that God has given us a mandate for the seasons ahead. God is calling us to stay here. God is calling us to call this place home. That this is home. I want to share with you in the next moments five different things that God has made really clear on this journey of the past couple of years. And I want to tell you, we have had some incredible men and women who have walked with us on this journey, primarily our church council. We have some beautiful men and women. In fact, if you've served on the church council since I've been here in the last couple of years, would you stand up real quick? Just stand up real quick right where you are. If you've been a church council member since I've been here, thank you. Some are playing hooky today. But listen, we've had hours, haven't we, Richard, of conversation, hours of prayer and dialogue about what God is leading us in. Ron, did you stand? Did you stand? I didn't see you stand. Thank you, Ron. Okay. Jose, did you stand, bro? Yo, you're short? I didn't see you either, man. Jose? Okay. Sorry. Man, we got council members hiding. I don't know what's going on. No, I probably just didn't see you. But listen, as we have sought the Lord, there are five things that when we said, God, would you make clear to us something about our future and the destiny that you have for us as a church family? These are five things that became clear. Number one, debt kills mission. Listen, we are in a very beautiful and unique place. A lot of churches are in debt. They're like scraping to like figure out how do we make ends meet. Now, I've got to tell you, and we're going to talk more about this. We have a family business meeting coming up. And when we do family business meetings, those are not things to like say, well, you know, I think I've got a dentist appointment that day. I don't think I can make it, you know, and try to get out of it. When we do our family business meetings, they're talking about vision. They're talking about resources and how we're stewarding and what we see God unveiling for the future. So don't avoid that. But listen, when we get there, we'll unpack this a little bit more fully. But some of the reason that we are a church that is in a really good position financially is because the legacy of those who have gone before us, that were part of this church family, that were faithful in their giving. And not only did people give money, can I tell you, if you don't know the history of our church, people gave property as well. We were the recipients of a beautiful complex down at 500 South Broadway. It really wasn't that beautiful until now. The person who purchased it from us is making it really nice again. Praise the Lord. He was called to do that, and we were not called to do that. But part of that, part of the legacy of this church has been that we've been resourced, and we so appreciate that. But when we do the math, and we've looked at the numbers really hard, we believe that even if we were to sell this property and we were to take all the resources that we have, that building out the kind of campus that the county would make us do with the zoning and the permitting and all that would cost more than we have. Immediately, that puts you into a place of deficit. And can I tell you just what it says right here? Debt kills mission. I learned this from a Christian businessman a handful of years ago, but boy, did it stuck. He said this, where there is no margin, there is no mission. So think about that. Where there is no margin, there's no mission. If you do your family budget, and man, it's like crammed all the way to the corners, and it's like, we have no more money left over. Guess what? It's really hard then to think about resourcing others. It's really challenging to think about, God, well, how would we give in order to like help our church grow? And we're going to be talking about a new project. I think we're going to start talking about it in the next 2 weeks. But listen, there's something we're even going to come and say, church family, we're ready to move into putting roots down deeper here. And we're going to share with you an amazingly beautiful project that I think God is giving us that is going to be so beautiful and helpful. But listen, when we have no margin, it's really hard to say we want to participate on mission. And we don't want to be that kind of church. We want to be able to continue to prioritize people over buildings, right? We don't want to be our buildings in debt and a new campus to be our master. We want to be free to be able to be generous and to be giving and doing ministry. Number two, here's one of the realities. We have room to grow right here. We believe that with some creative shifting, that we could double or even triple in size as a congregation right here on the 3 acres that God has given us. We have a lot of space here. We could actually put more rooms in, or more chairs in this room than there are right now. We can grow. Right now, we have this service in English at 9:30. And guess what? In less than an hour, we're going to be beginning another service here in Spanish. We could continue to multiply. And we've got other spaces around this campus that we could utilize. We could easily double or triple in size before we'd really start to feel a pinch on this property. There's room to grow right here. Number three, we have a rich history right here. That is so clear to me and so clear to those who have been part of the story of this church, that we have a rich history. I've got to show you a few pictures. These are pictures you've never seen before, okay? Put up the first picture there. See, here's the story. Santa Maria Foursquare was founded literally in 1927. 1927 was the birthday of Santa Maria Foursquare Church. But in 1959, this property was established. It's a long time ago, wasn't it? It's a long time ago. 1959, this church has been right here. And this picture was taken during that initial construction in probably this was taken in about 1958. Go to the next photo. I love this one because the initial name of the church right here was El Camino Park Church. Now, here's why I think they didn't keep that name. Because I think they misspelled it. Is that hilarious or what? There was a bunch of gringos. They were trying to be contextually appropriate within the city. I really don't know the full story, but when I looked at that picture, I had to laugh. And El Camino Park Church. El Camino Park. And if you're listening on the podcast, Camino is spelled incorrectly. But listen, here's what I love. This was a church that was embedded right into this community. Right across the street, we have El Camino Junior High. And here's a church that said, you know what? We want to be part of what God's doing in this community. We don't want to just be separate. We want to be part. There is such a rich history. And I've got to show you one more picture. I think this will make you smile because you're sitting in this space right here. Right there. And what you see, you're actually, when you look at that bright light, that's actually through the baptistry area right here. And back in the far corner that's pointed to the corner of Courier and Hermosa, there's actually a window on that corner. So you're actually looking through a window right there. Isn't that something? How things evolve and change over time. The multiplied seasons, the stages of change and other things have changed, but here was what hasn't changed. We are still committed to the whole gospel of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of his Holy Spirit reaching the needs of people in our city and beyond. That's who we are. And I want you to look at that picture for a moment. I want you to just think back to 1959 and then start to play the movie forward. The multiplied thousands and thousands of people who have received ministry right here. Thousands of people who have given their life to Jesus in this very space. Thousands of people who have been set free from addictions and from things that the enemy wanted to do to destroy their life. Friends, we have a rich history. People that have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, who have received prophetic words that have changed the course of their life in beautiful and profound ways, who've received a calling where they knew what their life mission was. That has happened right here, and it's happened in our classrooms with children and with our youth ministries. There is a legacy here. and that we are part of a rich history. And that is clearer to us now than ever. Number four, we are called to love our neighbors. As we have prayed and sought the Lord and literally walked our streets and talked and prayed, we feel more compelled to this than ever, to love our neighbors. And that is not just a theoretical, like abstract, hey, God calls to love our neighbors, everybody. No, this is literally taking a serious, putting serious weight to this calling to love and to care for those who God has placed closest to us. Listen, beyond all the wonderful ministries that we have going on through the life of the church, like our Sunday gatherings that we're in right now, or our youth ministries, or regular children's ministries, and those things, you know what? I want to just go through very quickly some of the things to love our neighbors that have been bubbling up and springing forth just in the last 2 years that did not exist before. One, Noche de Familia. Every Thursday night, we have dozens of people here on our campus that receive a meal and receive love and have a lot of fun and receive ministry every Thursday night. We do that in partnership with Central Coast Rescue Mission. Represent, okay? Come on, guys. Come on. Yeah, we do that. Yeah. And in partnership with Grace Baptist Church. And can I tell you, there is such a rich thing that's happening in that as we just love our neighbors. Second, many of you have participated in our big fiesta that we do, Fiesta Dia de la Independencia, where once a year, for the last 2 years, we've had over 1,000 people from our city on the campus to celebrate Mexican Independence Day. And as we honor and celebrate Mexican heritage and culture, it is giving us such a beautiful opportunity to just love our neighbors, just to love people, and to share with them the goodness and grace of Jesus. Something that we haven't talked much about, but also during this past year, we've been in relationship with the foster care system through Santa Barbara County. And did you know that in our West Campus buildings over here, these classroom buildings, that every single week that there is training for foster families that's going on right here on our campus? Is that beautiful? These are people from our neighborhoods, from our city, that are coming here to receive training to care for the next generation, and many who are most vulnerable and in need. It's a beautiful thing that's happening. We're also just right now in conversation, but it looks like in the next weeks, if we're able to get all the paperwork done and make this official, we're also going to be partnering with the county probation department, which is also very exciting, and it is something that is very needed. They have a program that's called, I love this, it's called ARC. Okay? You guys aren't, like, getting it yet. It's called ARC, all right? ARC is something, well, if you don't know, okay, all right. Read the book of Genesis, and the word ARC will mean more to you, okay? There's a guy named Noah. All right, well, that'll be another message. But they have a program called ARC. It's ARRC. And what it is provides an alternative resourcing for youthful offenders, for kids that have gotten caught up in negative behaviors and things that have caused them to break the law. But rather than just throwing them into a system where they can get chewed up and when they come out, many would recognize that they may be even worse off than when they went in. There's this program that's called ARC that is for teaching, it is for training. They do small group education, and they really are seeing life transformation happen. And they came and said, we would rather have our ARC program in Santa Maria based in a neighborhood rather than at juvenile hall. Said it's really challenging for kids to think that they're really going to get helped when they're walking onto the campus of juvenile hall. And we get to open our doors here for free to say, you know what? We have a church family that actually gives to support these kinds of things. We'll keep the grass cut and keep the lights on and keep the doors open for you if you would come in, and this will serve our city and serve the next generation. And I'm excited about that. Also, you've heard about this before. It's still coming, it's coming, it's coming. Hope for Santa Maria is another thing that we're about getting ready to see happen. Greg Follette has championed this on our congregation. It is a literacy program, very, very needed in our neighborhood, in our city, that's going to allow children to come in, and we'll be talking more about that over the next couple of weeks. The last thing I want to say that's been a beautiful thing to see develop over this last couple of years is relationship with our local schools. Robert Bruce Elementary and El Camino Junior High. Listen, we are in relationship with the principals. In fact, the principal from El Camino was just here right before Christmas. I gave her a tour and I said, I want you to come in and see the sanctuary. I want you to come and see because this place is yours. Whatever you want to do here, no charge. We love our city. We love our community. And she's saying, are you serious? She's saying, when we do parent events, we've had to do them over at Veterans Hall, which is great, a great space, but it's not very conducive for things like multimedia and sound and light. It's just not set up very well for that. So it makes it difficult for them. I said, we would love to host those for you. So those sort of things are happening. Right before Christmas, our staff went over and served lunch to over 100 school teachers, a Christmas lunch on the last day of the school year over at Robert Bruce Elementary, and sitting and talking with them and hearing their stories. Listen, we are part of a neighborhood. God has called us to love our neighbors, not just theoretically. And can I tell you, church family, I think we're doing it. I think these are just the beginning baby steps. But if we could do those sort of things just in 2 years, how much more would God allow us to do by putting our roots down deeper right here where we are? Last, number five, we believe that God has given us a unique place in Northwest Santa Maria. We believe it's a strategic place. And I could even tell you, I believe there's something of God's kingdom strategy that we're right here at this time. When you look at the city, there are three larger churches in all of Northwest Santa Maria, right? There's St. John Newman Catholic Church. There's the Jehovah's Witness Church up by Presker Park, and there's us. Now, we're not the only church, Bible-believing evangelical church in Northwest Santa Maria. I'm not saying that we're it, but it seems that God has raised us up to hold up a banner of the gospel and to love people in his name in a different and profound way than other churches and ministries in Northwest Santa Maria are doing. There's some other fantastic churches out within our city. Many of them are in the southern part of our city. In fact, if we were to go up on our other property right now, we could take you up to one port and look right over the freeway, and you're actually looking at Pacific Christian Center. Love Pastor Rick Bloom. Love what God is doing there. But guess what? He's put us here. And in thinking about where God is strategically placing churches, we believe that God has placed us in Northwest Santa Maria for a reason. For a reason. Listen, we believe we're at the right place at the right time to help our city find God. We believe that we are at the right place at the right time to help our city find their way to Jesus. We believe that this campus is not a stepping stone to somewhere better. We believe that this campus is a stepping stone into the lives of the people of this city. And so I ask you, church family, will you put your roots down deep here with me? Will you put your roots down deep here? Not longing for another place, but saying, God, you placed us here strategically. Uniquely, we have rich history here. You've called us to love our neighbors and to represent you somehow uniquely in Northwest Santa Maria. God, are we up to that challenge to put our roots down deep right here? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to conclude our service in a unique way. Something, two practices joined together that we do not normally do. Number one, I'm going to read a prayer and ask you to read with me and to allow this to soak into your spirit. The second thing that we're going to do is that we're going to stand. You can stand. And I think it's really important, if you're comfortable in doing this, to link hands with those that are to your right and to your left and bridge the aisles where it's possible and stretch out and find each other. And as I was praying for this service and seeking the Lord about this uniqueness about being rooted, not only in him in discipleship, but being rooted in a place, I came across this that another group of churches had written, actually from the United Kingdom, as they were thinking about some of the same things that we're thinking about and processing. God, do we leave the urban place where we are and go somewhere different? And this was a prayer that emerged in this group of churches. And Manuel, can you put up the slide there? It's three slides. I'm going to go ahead and read out loud, and you can join in with me as you're comfortable in doing so. God, we come before you just as we are, with all our frailties and vulnerabilities, our baggage and prejudices, our hopes and dreams, our life and love, and we offer it all to you. Take all we are and hope to be. Use us here where you've brought us and help us to be like Jesus. Use our hands, our eyes, our ears, our words, our silences, our work, our rest, our hearts and minds, and let your kingdom come in the lives of all who live next door and round about and in this street and square and in the whole neighborhood. Confirm in us your invitation to be your people here. Deepen our commitment to it in our experience of the heights and depths of life here. Help us to know your surging and renewing love. Lord, in your mercy, let your kingdom come. Can we read that last phrase again? Lord, in your mercy, let your kingdom come. God, that is our heart's cry. Lord, that we would be your people here, and as we are rooted here in this space, in this place, that God, that you would allow us to bear fruit, not only here, but Lord, all over this city, and God, if you would allow, even around the world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.